In September of 2019, when President Trump signed the Modernization Act for newer technologies, there was an obligation from the NIH to go before Congress. And so Fauci appeared on December 4th, 2019. It's a transcript record, 14 pages, before the House Energy Committee and the Subcommittee on Investigations and Oversight. And he specifically said, Mike, we're going to be using self-assembling nanoparticles. No one said a word. No one called him out. No one asked him to explain what that was, and they just let it go on. And what you're looking at from your brilliant work, it looks like to me, is the results of self-assembling nano machinery inside blood vessels. They could be developing in other types of vessels. Remember, lymphatic vessels, other types of chambers in the body. It's just that, you know, we haven't seen them readily as you would from an embalmer.
All right, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, and this is Monday, June 13th, 2022. This is hour number three, and we're going to be joined shortly by Dr. Jane Ruby, who deserves tremendous credit for helping to make today's show happen, by the way. It's Dr. Ruby who has been pursuing this kind of investigation into these clots that we're now able to bring to you, and she has run into a lot of resistance, by the way, in trying to get this kind of analysis to take place. And I have to say that Dr. Ruby deserves tremendous credit, and that she and Richard Hirschman put their faith in myself to be able to take these samples and do the analysis that you're seeing today. And I will promise you there is more to come. This is just the beginning. So I want to bring in Dr. Jane Ruby and just say, Dr. Ruby, thank you for having the courage and the foresight to make this happen. You are truly a hero for humanity. And with your effort, we are beginning to be able to spread the alarm about these clots and the dangers that these appear to pose to humanity as a whole. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Mike. The real heroes, really, seriously, are you and Mr. Hirschman, for him for coming forward with such bravery, because I've spoken to possibly 50 or 60 other embalmers who showed me the same things, and they don't want to come forward at all. They're too frightened. So he's a hero. And thank you so much for taking this baton. We've tried since January to get somebody to look at it. And to be honest with you, we've been sabotaged, we've been gaslighted, and we've been stalled. And I should have thought of you from the beginning, because you have the integrity and the honesty and the reputation, and you certainly have the skills with your certified lab. So I'm just happy to, you know, send this on to you.
This really is a team effort. All of us here in the independent media, I mean, think about this. The mainstream media won't touch this. Mainstream science won't touch this. Anybody who would do what we are doing here today would have their funding cut off by Fauci and the NIH and so on, or they would, all their federal grants would be cut and so on. So, I mean, this is really a critical moment for humanity and demonstrating the integrity and the real science that we are conducting in the independent media that is showing the danger to the world of what is happening right now. So I just have to say thank you. But let's jump right into it, Dr. Ruby.
Sure.
The resistance that you found on I still can't believe it, that no one was willing to do this. But have you been able to see some of these images now from the microscope? I published them last night on my website and here today. What are your initial reactions to some of these microscopy images?
Well, you might find this surprising, but I'm not shocked by it. Because remember, I've been working with all kinds of experts for the last 18 months, because we're feeling our way through the dark, essentially. And these people all have a different angle on this. Patents, protocols, other kinds of reports, blood reports, and then putting the pieces together over the months. I'm not surprised. And I'll take you one step further backward. In September of 2019, when President Trump signed the Modernization Act for newer technologies, there was an obligation from the NIH to go before Congress. And so Fauci appeared on December 4th, 2019. It's a transcript record, 14 pages, before the House Energy Committee Committee and the Subcommittee on Investigations and Oversight. And he specifically said, Mike, we're going to be using self-assembling nanoparticles. No one said a word. No one called him out. No one asked him to explain what that was. And they just let it go on. And what you're looking at from your brilliant work, it looks like to me, is the results of self-assembling nano machinery inside blood vessels. They could be developing in other types of vessels. Remember, lymphatic vessels, other types of chambers in the body. It's just that, you know, we haven't seen them readily as you would from an embalmer. So that's really my first, you know, response to everything that you presented on the show today.
Well, you
I'm not surprised at all.
The key word that you just used there is absolutely, I should have used it earlier, self-assembling. What's clear is that these clot structures, they are not, let's say, attached to the vascular walls. They don't have an umbilical cord, for example. They are clearly self-assembling based on whatever they're able to capture from the blood. But they also have instructions, you know, because, well, you have to have protein synthesis instructions in order to self-assemble these structures inside the body. So we know these are not normal blood clots. They're not just blood. They are flesh-like protein structures. They are self-assembling, like you just said. Thank you for that. And they are growing inside the body. This should be alarm bells ringing worldwide. This should be a global call to stop all the vaccines right now, should it not?
Absolutely. And I have to tell you something else, kind of a breaking piece of information. I don't know if Mr. Hirschman, you know, mentioned it or in any of your discussions with him, but he has actually gone back to a vial a couple of days later, just a couple of days, in formalin, in a refrigerator or freezer, and these things were larger on their own. So they don't necessarily need the inside of a human body, but inside a human body. And remember, Mike, we know from the leaked communications between Pfizer and the EMA from last year, they're now in the public domain, that Pfizer negotiated for themselves, and I'm sure the other companies did too, that 50% of those vials didn't have to be declared, which gave them the leeway to change it. I've always said it really looks, and I credit the work of Team Enigma that looked at the lot numbers and found huge discrepancies in the across within the same lot number. And they said this could not be a statistical anomaly. This is due to the fact that there are different materials in there at any given time. So God only knows what we're dealing with. We have tomorrow, the 14th of June, and Wednesday, the 15th of June, they're coming for our babies, our 6-month-old babies and toddlers. And I just want to get the word out to parents who may be on the fence for some strange reason. You've got to rethink this. You've got to rethink this.
Well, wow. You're exactly right. They're coming for the children on this. But I got to say, for the record, what you described, some of these structures continuing to grow even outside the body, I am very skeptical of such a description. I do not believe that unless I see it, frankly, because that would be so wild. That would be just so unexpected. I mean, my theory is that these need the blood supply flowing around these structures in order to continue to maintain viability and to expand. I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying I would need a lot of, you know, evidence to believe such a thing. But you make a really important point. They're going after the children. What if now, through all these injections of children who have no choice in this matter, this is almost like post-birth abortion. I mean, it's a kind of slow medical slaughtering of children if they died 2 years down the road from blood clots that were caused by these injections. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and you know, Mike, you raise an interesting issue. We don't know how much these people suffered before they dropped dead, because this didn't like develop overnight, right? So it had to have taken some time, because these are large structures, to the point where it overwhelms the body and then the person keels over. But we don't know from the time they got, you know, shot up to the time they dropped dead what they lived with. They were either afraid to say it, didn't understand it, cognitive dissonance, doctors that they went to told them they were imagining it. So people are suffering in between, and I'm just so worried about the babies and the children. But yeah, there's a lot, and who knows? Maybe it doesn't need a human body if it's taking materials that also occur in the non-biologic sense, right?
That's, like that's minerals. Possible. What we need to do, and what I'm asking Richard Hirschman to do, is find the largest diameter clot that he can to get it to me. And what we need to do is dissect that clot structure under the microscope and find out if there is any kind of internal structure to this. I mean, for example, does it have, you know, angiogenesis? Is it building its own internal blood distribution vascular system like a cancer tumor does? I mean, I don't know. I'm not claiming it does, but we need to look at this closely and dissect it. I mean, this, what if this is some other viable, you know, organism being developed? I mean, we don't know, but what if?
Yeah, one of the most stunning findings that you presented was the nanowire. And I know that you don't know 100% if that is, but
We got to go to break, Dr. Ruby. I apologize for interrupting you. We'll be right back to answer that question about the nanowires and biocircuitry. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams. We'll be right back after this break. We are unveiling today a worldwide emergency, a medical emergency that could be affecting literally billions of human beings who may be walking around right now with these engineered biostructures growing inside their vascular systems. That is not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. This is what we are seeing. This is what the evidence is showing us. We have possession, physical possession of these clot samples. They are not blood clots. They are complex structures. They are being built. They contain repeating patterns. The body is clearly receiving instructions to build these structures. We don't yet know what they are or what their purpose is. But Dr. Ruby joins us now, and she's on Telegram. Dr. Jane Ruby is her name on Telegram. That's also her website, drjaneruby.com. Dr. Ruby, I want to ask you for your theories of what could explain this, specifically a question that was actually posed by a crew member here. Could these clots be explained by just the presence of spike protein? I mean, could a bunch of spike proteins come together and make these things? Is that possible? Or what's your theory?
That's a really good question. I had a discussion with the famous virologist, Dr. Sukrit Bhakti in Germany. And, you know, he pointed out something really important, that the mRNA technology is designed supposedly to force your body to make billions of those spike proteins. And so we know the lipid nanoparticle gets into every cell in the body. So when it gets into every cell, especially the lining of your blood vessels, it starts to produce these things all over your body, actually. And these spikes kind of eventually, when you're making them by the billions, they stick out. And when you stick out in the lumen of a blood vessel, you're interrupting the velocity or the speed, the flow. And there's a natural pressure sensors to that. And the body detects that something's in there, and it sends clotting and fibrinogen and things like that. So for that reason, it's a good question. But I think that you would see real blood clots, right, from real blood form and probably take the person out with a, you know, throwing one from their into their brain or their lung or their heart, and they would die, and they would not, the embalmers would not find, see where I'm going with that, the extent of this material throughout the vasculature. So, you know, that would be my roundabout answer to that. It's always a possibility. But what is really interesting in my mind, I've had many discussions with Mr. Hirschman, as you can imagine, over the months. And one of the startling things he has said consistently is that these white fibrous pieces, while they do have blood around them, and sometimes on one end or the other, they're attached to a bloody clot. He said when he kind of peels it back, and this is really, really creepy, he said the white fibrous thing that we don't know exactly what it is yet seems to be feeding off of or emanating out of the blood. So there could be that theory that it's using materials in it, or maybe it's hanging on to it or stuck to it for some other reason. But look, you know, the bottom line, Mike, and you've said this a number of times, this is not for your health. This is not for the public health. This is not does not have anything to do with a virus, any virus, right? And the thing that got me really upset in the very beginning was the lockstep nature of this. You know, how does this happen simultaneously in every country, every state in the United States, every industry, every corporation? It didn't make sense to me. So I knew that there was something more than just, you know, a couple of rogue scientists. And, well, you know, we're starting. Yeah.
The big question on this is if indeed that these mRNA instructions are somehow telling the body to build these structures. Is this an unintended consequence of, you know, mucking around and playing God with genetic code? Or is this something that they knew was going to happen that was engineered into the system? Because, you know, if you look at the mRNA gene sequences, there are a lot of, suspicious sequences in there that might have to do with fibrinogen, as you mentioned, or how the blood reacts. I mean, maybe they just didn't test it. We know they didn't bother to test it. You know, they fudged all the trials and emergency use authorization was just thrown out there. It's like, it's safe and effective. Just take it. Isn't it possible this could even take them by surprise?
You know, Mike, not a chance. And I'll tell you why. I spent 20 years in this industry on the medical research side. You couldn't sneeze and the PR department would be down your throat. Everything had to come out of their department. Everything was damage control. Everything was positive, right? You haven't heard a peep from any of these companies. And furthermore, you haven't heard a peep from any of the other companies, the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of companies in this industry. Doesn't that strike anyone as really strange? Because if this was unintended and an oops moment and, oh my gosh, we were sloppy with, with the testing, they would have been out here apologizing, pulling it back themselves, recalculating it, resetting it. But instead, they're pushing it and pushing it, and they want you to take booster after booster because, Mike, I think that in order to get this to develop in the body, you have to keep taking it, right? Oh, I believe you have to keep priming the system with this direction because the body's not a potted plant, right? God is incredible. This is a genius system and it's always going to try to save us. And so the point I'm trying to make is that the body degrades, everything. That's why we give you, if you're on a medication, you're on it every day because your liver breaks it down, your system breaks it down in many other ways, metabolizes it down and excretes it. So your body's probably doing something like that here.
Then you're thinking this is why they keep pushing more booster shots. And also, perhaps this might explain the motivation for why they want to inject young children, 5 and under, who are at essentially zero risk from COVID. There's no medical justification for an immunization program targeting children in that age range against COVID. So clearly there's some other motivation at work here, and maybe this is it. You know, you hit them with these injections and you wait 18 months or whatever the duration is, and children grow massive clots in their arteries and they're dead within 5 years. I mean, that could be what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I think it's a multi-pronged approach. I think it's immediate death for depopulation. I think it is I've been looking at talking to Dr. Daniel Negassi. He's done his work on molecular biology and says this stuff is poisoning the human genome. And through recombinant, DNA activity, transcriptase, reverse transcriptase, you're going to see this continue through generations. If people survive long enough to procreate, they're not in the clear. And so there's that. There's the damaging of the human DNA. Remember the Moderna CMO, Ty Sachs, saying we're going to hack, the software of life. Human beings are like the software of life. So I think it's depopulation, death. It's changing the genome, and I also think that this nanowire that you've nailed in these pictures in your work, I think that's going to lead to maybe a third part of their program to be able to send signals or retrieve signals. You have this sick animal, Yuval Harari, saying, we're going to, put everybody through this, central mental, the net of all things. This is how they're probably doing it. And their technology is probably...
Dr. Ruby, I'm going to glove up here during this break coming up, and I have that nanowire sample right here on the microscope. I'm going to go over to that station in the next segment with you, and I'd like to have a conversation with you. You're getting video from us, correct? You can see the broadcast video. Okay, so we're going to go live on the microscope right after this break. Stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, live microscopy coming right up. All right, folks, we're back. I'm on the microscope, and we're joined by Dr. Jane Ruby, who's going to be helping us interpret what we're seeing here live in real time. And we're going to be feeding this video microscope image of the so-called nanowire. And in fact, to the producers, if you could just show that right now, I want to show people this is a live real-time image. We're going to be able to zoom in and out and cruise around and take a closer look at this. So Dr. Ruby, this is the nanowire structure, at least that's what I'm calling it. We don't yet know what this is, but looking at this structure, you can see the repeating patterns. It looks like almost like a snakeskin type structure. This is not normal. This should not be in your blood supply. What do you make of this, Dr. Ruby?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert. Obviously, none of us are in this evil. But I agree with you. The repeating patterns, I look inside, it looks like it's an insulated wire, right? Or that something is insulated. And when you and Mr. Hirschman talked about the tensile strength of these materials, these clots, that you've handled, it makes perfect sense that this is an encasement, right? And so those, I agree with you also on the description that it's scale-like. Look at that. Almost looks like it's laying over. But of course, when you're observing something with your naked eye, even through a microscope, it could appear to be scale-like, and it could be something else when you get a little bit closer. But this is pretty amazing magnification, Mike. I'm really impressed. And it could be overlapping scaling, or it could be like fissures, right?
Well, yeah.
Who knows?
Just to be clear, you're exactly right. We don't know what this is, Dr. Ruby, and I'm not claiming that these are, reptilian scales. I'm just saying that they remind me of that visually. They kind of look like that, but this is on a much smaller scale. These are nanoscale structures that we're actually looking at here, so they're very, very tiny. But thank you, for reminding me to clarify that. We do not know what this is, folks, but this is coming out of people's blood vessels and arteries, and it's part of a much larger clot. In fact, I'm going to zoom out right now and show you that this is part of this massive clot structure. In fact, I'll go ahead and zoom out more. There, that's the zoomed out version of what we're looking at. So, and I tried to pull this so-called nanowire out of this clot. I tried to pull it out with the tweezers here, and it did not want to come out. It's attached somehow. I'm not sure how, but this is freaking me out a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Mike, is it in? Yeah, me too, of course. Is it possible to get a look at the attachment point, where that wire that you're having a hard time pulling it out from, to get a look at that attachment to see if there's any structure that you haven't seen yet that is holding it, right?
That's a really good point, Dr. Ruby. Unfortunately, what happens is these samples dry. Once they're exposed to open air, and when they dry, they're no longer malleable. So, if I take these live samples out of this vial, then they're still kind of rubbery and liquidy, and I can manipulate them. But now that they're dried, they become more fragile, and I can't really like tear it apart. I can't manipulate it with the tweezers here. Although, if I find one of these again, I'm going to do that. That's a really great suggestion. But just for those of you watching live, let me insert the tweezers into the microscope image so you can see the size of the tweezers compared to this. I mean, that's the tip of a tweezer right there.
Yes.
And it is
very
massive. I mean, so we are zoomed in right now at about, 200, 1,000. And at this point, there's our structure. And we can go even more. We can go 1,500 on this. There we go.
It almost looks a little hair-like, Mike, like when hairs are lined up on each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But here's the thing, I only even looked at a small sample of what Richard Hirschman sent me. There are so many more. I mean, there are, he's got bags of these things.
He's got refrigerators full of bags. And, you raise an interesting point. It could be that if you examine these samples, maybe another bag from another day in another patient a month later, you may find visually something very different.
That's right. Well, we're seeing these white chalky particles, something that looks like crystalline structures, something that looks like really tiny, maybe I say they resemble little circuits. I don't know what they are. And then these so-called nanowires, again, that's just a physical resemblance. We don't know what these are. But clearly these are not blood clots. Because, you know, look, I've got, here's a piece of dried blood from earlier today, there, under the microscope right now. That's dried blood.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And it's already kind of fragmenting, by the way. But what we are seeing looks nothing like blood clots.
That's correct. It's very smooth. You can tell that when it was liquid, there wasn't anything in it. Otherwise, it would, as it dried and shrunk, then anything in the blood would start to protrude. It was one of the things I called attention to in the OJ trial. Any nurse or doctor worth their salt, Mike, would have said, yeah, the glove doesn't fit because it was soaked in blood. Blood is viscous and it shrinks when it dries. So that blood, that sample that you had looked like it was a clean, you know, wasn't filled with anything structurally. That is so unusual, Mike. That string coming through. Wow.
Yeah, these are very strange things. Now, I've done a lot of microscopy on food, and I've seen, you know, some pretty creepy structures in food that are, you know, harvested from chickens or beef or what have you. But I've never seen anything like this coming out of people's arteries. And that's why I was so careful with Richard Hirschman to say, are you sure that this is coming out of people's a vascular system as you're, you know, pushing embalming fluid through that system? And he said, yes, absolutely. He is certain, and apparently other embalmers are certain of this as well. But you've been trying to sound the alarm on this for a long time, Dr. Ruby, and you've been, you know, you've hit a lot of resistance.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of resistance, Mike. I mean, it hasn't gone much further until you and your work now. It really hasn't gone much further. And I'm directly aware of the fact that there are a few of a recognizable, so to speak, frontline doctors and experts that have had it and didn't get to it, whatever their reasons were, didn't take it any further. And I'm not sure what that is about. So we just kept hitting these walls, Mr. Hirschman and I. And I was leaving him to do it because it was his material. He owns it. And I didn't want to get in the way of any chain of custody issues or anything like that. But eventually it just got to the point where I had to start really thinking who we could trust. And that took a while to figure out. But I want to call it attention to something. I don't know if people are aware of this, but after President Trump signed the executive order in 2019, Fauci said, you know, self-assembling nanoparticles. I mean, on page 4, I just want to read really quickly. He says, these platform technologies that we're going to bring forward, and you can listen to this while you're looking at these samples, include DNA, messenger RNA, which, by the way, was a lie because these are modified RNA. They're not natural RNAs. Virus-like particles, vector-based, and, bingo, self-assembling nanoparticle vaccines. So this is what you're seeing develop in here. This is not a vaccine. It's not here for your health. It's not going to confer future protection. In fact, now we know, thanks to Mr. Hirschman's courage and your work, Mike, and your courage, now we know what this is for. And I just don't know how to get this to the larger part of the world, right? Because I think if people see this, and by the way, speaking of Mr. Hirschman, I brought that question up to him about, you know, people aren't going to believe this. And so he did live videos pulling this out. There's no way he could shove that in and then try to pull it out for a video.
Yeah, that's right. He sent me some of those videos. And they're too graphic, I think, to show on the air, but I've seen them. So thank you for reminding me. But there are videos that show him pulling this out of the embalming subjects. And I've got something on screen right now, another kind of nanowire structure that I found just while you were talking. I'm just poking around. See if you can show that on screen. And we can move through the range of focus on that so that people can kind of see that. And that's also found on this clot that came out of a person's body. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Much more straight ahead on The Alex Jones Show. All right, final segment today here on The Alex Jones Show with Gerald Celente coming up in the fourth hour. And I'm joined now in this final segment by Dr. Jane Ruby, continuing our discussion of what these mysterious clots are that are now being found. They are exploding in numbers in the bodies of people who are suddenly dying. And so, of course, these are strongly suspected of being the cause of death in a great many people. Dr. Ruby, there was during the break, I just brought up this kind of another nano strand of some kind on the microscope. If the producers can put that up, there we go. That was found in this sample that I had prepped right here in the studio. So now it's starting to dry out, so it looks a little less liquidy, but you're starting to see these strands and fibers. Now, clearly these are not blood clots. Clearly these are, you know, advanced complex structures. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, I've got a very interesting thought. You know, I've been working with experts all over the world for 18 months now, putting pieces together, looking at blood of people who've been jabbed and feel sick and things like that. And that last picture you put up before the break, it just hit me right between my eyes. And I tried to send a couple of pictures to, but you can't do it at the last minute with production. But there's a ribbon sort of aspect to what you just showed. It's kind of, if you look, the one you showed before we went to break sort of was a little wider. Even in this one, you can see there's a little bit of a luminescence. It's a flat ribbon, yes, sort of aspect to it. This has been seen in, under so many different conditions, like blood microscopy and things like that. It's been seen in the vials of all of the companies, all of the, well, we just got Novavax, but the first four. It's been seen in blood over and over and over again, where you see the Rulio blood, you know, stacking like coins, but wrapped around are those exact structures. Those exact structures. Yeah, so fascinating.
In order for, in the whole realm of biology, for these structures to be constructed, there must be genetic instructions, and genetic code, of course, describes protein synthesis. And these are clearly proteins, but they are not, or at least, I mean, my guess is they're not spike proteins. These are more like structural proteins that the body might typically use to build, you know, muscle or tissue or tendons or things like that. And so could this just be that, you know, the programming has gone haywire, that somehow the body is building another body inside its own arteries accidentally or so? I mean, you know, or it's been invoked. I'm trying to find alternative explanations.
Yeah. I hear you. Remember all the evidence and the documents and the patents and the communications from the Wuhan lab and the World Genome Bank talked about this was designed in silico. This is a synthetic material. It's not, that's why it's not messenger RNA, which is natural organic RNA. It is a synthetic version. God only knows what it's going to be programmed to do. And here's an example of it. But I have to go back to the second part, your question. And I appreciate very much your desire to try to, you know, like, let's try if we could find any other alternative explanation, because it's hard to believe that your government is no longer there and that your agencies have collapsed and that there's some worldwide force that's actually trying to kill you off and make you suffer before they do it. But I go back again, this is an industry itself. It's being silenced. If any of this was innocent, there would be outcries from those organizations and agencies and governments that previously protected us.
This is happening at the same time that a Google engineer is claiming that an artificial intelligence system built by Google has achieved consciousness, and it's called the Lambda system. Is it sentient? And I read the exchange between Google engineers and this Lambda system, which believes itself to be a person. And this AI system is able to write stories about its own state of consciousness, its own moods, its own observations about its own internal processes of cognition. I mean, it appears to be far more intelligent than any human being living alive. And yet you and I, Dr. Ruby, are talking about some kind of living tissue that is being grown somehow or constructed inside human bodies and is now showing up, you know, it's exploding in terms of its numbers. We are looking, I don't think these things are disconnected in the sense that the so-called scientists are playing God with the definitions of life, and they are building AI systems, and they are playing around with the genetic code and building biological systems. Don't you agree that these are related?
They're 100% related. And my biggest concern, Mike, is that once you interfere with human DNA, now nature does it all the time, right? That's how you get cancer. That's how you get a lot of things. And sometimes there's a repair. But to do it intentionally, And either to know the end game or to know part of it, but not all of it, is just incredibly dangerous. It comes down to, is this the world that you want to live in? Right. Because eventually we will all be swallowed up by it if we don't stop it. I can't even get people to destroy, you know, mail-in drop boxes outside of their polling places. How are we going to get them to, you know, really stop taking these shots and their loved ones as well?
Now, I'm going to let the viewers in on a little secret that you and I have here. Dr. Ruby and myself, we are collaborating now on the next phase of the analysis of these clots, and we are going to jointly announce these findings roughly in about a week or so. And we will, of course, I'll initially publish on naturalnews.com. I'll give permission, InfoWars, to repost that story. Dr. Ruby will be covering on your Telegram channel, Dr. Jane Ruby. That's your Telegram. Perhaps you or
yep.
I'm sorry?
Yep. And my show, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on Red Voice Media, and my Bright Tion TV show on Monday nights live with Dr. Jane Ruby. So I'll make sure
Excellent.
It gets into both shows.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for that. I just want to say that everything that you and I find, we're going to try to share it here on InfoWars. If Alex wants me back in the studio to talk about it and have you on, that's great. Stu Peters will probably be covering it as well, I would imagine, because he's also very courageous in telling the truth about all this. I just got to say, this is a group effort of independent media, and folks, this effort has only just begun. If you think that what you saw today was shocking, wait till you see what happens next week, because... Well, we'll just leave it at that. Fair enough. Anything you want to say about that, Dr. Ruby?
Well, you know, a lot of it is still going to be a surprise to me as well, because you, Mike, in this analysis, you're taking this to a level that no one either has but hasn't let us know, or that no one ever has. So you are moving the needle with these analyses. And I know that your second stage is going to be, if I understood it correctly, a little more on the chemical side and maybe composition side, which would be wonderful, even if we could just rule out certain things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's all the hints you're going to get, folks, too, about what's coming up. But it's more than microscopy. We'll just put it that way. We're going to get some lab reports on what this stuff is. So, Dr. Ruby, I really want to thank you for your courage and your compassion for humanity in just taking the time to join us today. God bless you for all that you do.
Well, thanks, Mike, for taking this on. And I'm just honored to work with you. I've followed your work for years, and so very happy to help out wherever I can.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, we're just honored to have you on, and we appreciate you joining us today. Now, folks, Joe Salenti is coming up in the fourth hour. I want to thank Dr. Ruby for joining us, and also Richard Hirschman, and our first guest, the anonymous physician. The InfoWars store summer sale has arrived. It's up to 60% off, double Patriot points. And the reason I mention this is because the support of InfoWars is so crucial. We could not be here with all the crew and all the equipment, the infrastructure to be here. Is only made possible by you and your support. So check out InfoWarsStore.com. They've got immune support, 60% off, whole food multivitamin, hair and beard support, which is really a multivitamin that has many purposes outside of hair and beards, by the way. 60% off. All the Dr. Jones Naturals products are 40% off, including the charcoal toothpaste, mouthwash, and many others. All t-shirts are priced at cost. All of that is available at InfoWarsStore.com. And I also want to thank all of you for supporting me and my work. And I want to thank the InfoWars crew for allowing me to come in and kind of invade the space with these pretty grotesque little clot samples here. I think that's the first time that's happened here, but probably not the last. But hey, whatever it takes to tell the truth, that's what we're all about. Now, Gerald Salenti is coming up in the fourth hour. And do not miss all the broadcasts this week, because there's a lot of breaking news happening in the world right now. The markets are getting hammered. Crypto is getting whipsawed right now. You need to get prepared financially with your food supplies, with backup communications, self-defense gear where legal. Make sure you acquire the firearms, the ammunition that you can legally obtain, and even stockpile if necessary, because believe me, folks, a collapse is being engineered. We, humanity, we are under attack from every possible vector, and this is the best place to get the truth, InfoWars.com. I want to thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger of naturalnews.com. Gerald Celente comes up next from Trends Journal. God bless you all. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
And I've been so busy that I have not had time to cut an ad for it, but I'll just tell you about that. Everybody needs powerful films on their shelf as a DVD, to have it in HD, to be able to get it out to people, be able to share it with people. We bought 20,000 of Dinesh D'Souza's new film, 2,000 Mules. A lot of you already seen it online, but it's very important to have the hard copy in your possession. And so the film is available at InfoWarsStore.com, ready to ship out to you. Now, we've also had this film in for 2 weeks. It's a five-part series. It's an incredible piece of history, but I've been so busy I haven't cut an ad for that either. And that is COVID Land Part 3. COVID Land Part 3. That really integrates all of what happened under the previous lockdowns and the mask and the lies and what's coming next. You can get them discounted at 30% off when you get the two films together at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Let me say it again.
The 2020 election was the most secure
election in American history.
Let me begin by asking a very simple question. Do we know the truth about what really happened in the 2020 election?
I think millions of Americans know something went wrong, and they have little pieces, and no one's really put it together.
I'm agnostic on this question, and I am awaiting more information.
If I believed the president were a Nazi, I might steal an election.
Bold accusations require bold evidence, and they haven't seen it.
We have been working on something big.
Show me the money.
Can we meet? I've been working with Greg Phillips. He has a deep background in election intelligence.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do. We identified in Atlanta 242 mules that went to an average of 24 drop boxes. But Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules.
What is a mule?
Person picking up ballots and running them to the drop boxes.
This is not grandma out walking her dog. Bad backgrounds, bad reputations. They are interested in one thing, that's money.
And in no shape, in no way, in no time is that legal.
This is organized crime.
Do you have video evidence?
4 million minutes of surveillance video around the country.
What you're about to see is disturbing.
So this is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Don't we all vote at 1 o'clock in the morning?
On one night, this person, this mule, went across six counties to 27 different drop boxes.
I call it the Mexican Mafia, seriously, because they work like that.
This is jaw-dropping.
What you showed is frightening.
It's just sickening to me.
Now we come to the most important question of all. Was the magnitude of vote trafficking enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election?
It's not a leap to say this would have made a difference.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable. And that's enough for me to fight the left with every fiber in my body.
Without free and fair elections, we are not a democracy. We are a criminal cartel masquerading as a democracy.